At the beginning of this passage in Deuteronomy, the simple title, A Call to Love, is there in the scripture. And this section is that. It's a call to love. It's a call to demonstrate God's love. Today is Palm Sunday. It is also the sixth Sunday in our six-part Lenten series, where we have focused on different social justice issues each week. This week, we're taking up immigration and global migration. And I will say before we even start that American policy is not my focus this morning. I'm not here to talk to you about politics. I'm here to talk to you about people. And so don't set your heart against or your ears against hearing, because we're not talking about that thing that might be the hot button political issue of the day. We're talking about the people involved. And so if you will listen, perhaps you can hear. Pray with me. Dear God, I do ask that you set our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive your word, to hear anew a call to love. I ask, Lord, that you would help me to set myself aside, that you would empty me, that your Holy Spirit would so fill me up that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing to you. For it's for you and with you we bring our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Palm Sunday is some movement on Palm Sunday, right? Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, as prophesied by Zechariah and others in history. And Jesus enters Jerusalem on a day when folks are gathering. There are people from all the nations in one place. People that speak so many languages all in one place. They're all there for this feast, this pilgrimage feast, the Passover. Preparing, making ready. Jesus is making ready as well. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, being recognized as the Savior, the Messiah. Not in closed circles, not in temple courts, but publicly. Out loud, Jesus is saying, here I am. Here's who I am. Asking folks to watch what he has come to do. Palm Sunday, the day of triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's a day when we remember, can remember, Jesus' entry into our lives, his entry into our hearts, and what he came to do, why he came to die, what difference he makes since he rose from the dead on our behalf. This is why we mark these kinds of days in our liturgical history. It's why Palm Sunday is a part of our celebration, our preparation for the celebration of Easter. To set our hearts and minds for what is to come. Kind of a hard transition, but I'm going to talk to you a minute about vacation. My family and I, my wife and I, and my mom were on vacation a couple of weeks ago. We took off. We went to Georgia and North Carolina to see my mom's brothers. And vacation for my family is often about other parts of our family. When we prepare to travel, it is usually because there are people at the end of the road rather than locations. It's not where we're going, but who we're going to see that drives us in our decision-making. This vacation that we just took was no different. As a matter of fact, it looked exactly like a spring break we took 3 years ago. We traveled to Statesboro, Georgia, to spend time with my closest cousin, who lives just down the road from his father, my mother's brother. When we were there 3 years ago, I met his pastor, Pastor Shearer. And he invited me to share a message the next time I was in town. He asked me as I came back into town to speak about Holy Communion from a United Methodist perspective to a room full of Southern Baptists. I don't know if he knew what he was getting himself into. Right. But I did, and as I was giving the message, the Holy Spirit led me into the same theme that we have been focusing on here at Chapel Hill. As I was talking to a congregation of Southern Baptists about what United Methodists believe about Holy Communion, I told them that there was one Christ, one body, one cup of covenant blessing, and we become one when we partake of that holy feast. We are one in Christ and one in service to the world together, and that is what it looks like when I pray, "Thy kingdom come." I don't think God cares two hoots about denominations. Right. I don't think he cares if we are United Methodist or Presbyterian or Congregationalist or Baptist or any other thing, as long as we are Christian, as long as we are following his Son, Jesus Christ, as long as we understand ourselves as adopted children of God. We are one in Christ and one in service to the world. One. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," that's what we're asking for. Because I don't think God's kingdom looks like our kingdom. When God created humankind, he did not make Methodists and Baptists and Roman Catholics and Muslims and Jews. We did that. As God continues to move and create, God is still creating human beings with the intention of us to be one. But we have this human compulsion to continually separate and differentiate that which God has made one. We are fixated on what makes us different rather than what makes us the same. And I don't really get it. We profess one creator, one source of all that is good, and that we are all made in the image of the one true God. Then it is almost as if we forget that when we seek to differentiate ourselves from each other. There is no us and them in the kingdom of God. There are no boundaries and borders in the kingdom of God. God's kingdom cannot come on this earth as it is in heaven for any one part of what God has created, but can only come for the whole of God's creation at one time. We may get small glimpses of what thy kingdom can be like, but we will not realize the fullness of God's kingdom as we seek to separate and differentiate between that which God has created. It simply cannot be done. Every human life came to life because God breathed into that human being, and the human heart began to beat. We are the same. Today, as I said, we are in the last part of our six-part series on issues of social justice, and today we are talking about global migration and immigration. As I said before I started, I have no intention of talking about the merits of domestic immigration policy. You can figure that out for yourselves. Many of you have strong opinions, and I'm concerned about them, but not what we're here to talk about today. I do not want to discuss politics of border protection or the change your minds about domestic policy. Not my aim. The aim of this message is to remind us that where there are policies, there are people. Global migration and immigration are not political issues that can be separated from the people affected by them. I simply want us to remember that the subject of every immigration decision is a person. Someone made in God's own image with the same God-given potential as any other human being made in the same. Migrants, immigrants, refugees, the undocumented, illegals, ICE detainees, and everyone who is deported from anywhere are all people of sacred worth who are part of the kingdom of God, created in God's image, with God's breath in their lungs. We are in a global refugee crisis. People all over the world are leaving their homes at the highest rate since the middle of World War II, when people were fleeing Eastern Europe. According to the UN, there are more than 68 million people in the world who have been forcibly displaced from their homes and therefore are refugees. These people aren't leaving only for a better life, but in some cases, leaving to save their lives and the lives of their family in whole. It's not about a better life, it's about life at all. Each family displaced has made a choice, yes, to seek something better, but in most cases also to seek that which we have deemed inalienable rights as human beings. They are leaving because the systems under which they live no longer allow them access to safe shelter, adequate food and water, and the ability to make a living that will provide for their families. And it's all over the globe. Have you ever wondered, even for a moment, what your life might be like had you been born in a different place or at a different time? I do. The truth is, none of us has any control of that. We're born where we're born. We're born when we're born. I was born in the U.S. in 1966. I have lived in an era of prosperity in this country. I hardly know what it is to go without, but I don't know. But what if I had been born in Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe, or Burma, now Myanmar, or South Sudan, or Nicaragua, or Colombia, or Cambodia? What would my life have been like then? Would I need to seek something else for my family simply based on where I live and the circumstances or government or the lack thereof in that place? Sometimes, for us to be moved to action, we need to put ourselves in the place of the other, to think of ourselves living not in prosperity, but under the oppression they face, or in the circumstances with which they must live. It's easy for me to say what is right for me, to find that place. But what is right for the other? And what does God ask us where that is concerned? We must also think of the consequences of our actions and our inactions where the other is concerned. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus tells a parable about watchfulness. He talks about servants who have been given the responsibility of caring for their master's affairs in the master's absence. They are unaware of the time of the master's return and are warned to be watchful or ready for that return at all times. At the end of the parable, Jesus describes punishments that will be metered based on the ways the duties of the servants have been carried out. And he offers this familiar phrase: from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. As we understand our place in God's kingdom and as disciples of Christ, those born in places where there is freedom and prosperity are the servants entrusted with much. Those to whom much has been given and those of whom much will be required. Parables are not always this clear, but there is a clear meaning in this one for me. I have been given much. Therefore, much is required of me. Simple. I read this parable as a clear mandate to seek to care for those to whom less has been given simply because I have been given much. I could not control the circumstances of my birth, the freedoms that I enjoy, or the prosperity made available to me any more than someone born in places with less of all these things. But this teaching from Jesus tells me that regardless of the law, regardless of which side of national borders or policies folks find themselves, I need to care for and about them because I have been given much of what they are seeking, by the way. I have been asked to care about the people who are leaving South Sudan because they cannot feed their families, because my family has been given much. I need to care about the people whose homes and workplaces have been ravaged by war in Iraq and Afghanistan simply because mine have not been. I need to care about the woman and her children who have left Nicaragua or Colombia because their husband and father in the family have been killed in drug wars. Simply because I do not live with these realities, I have been given much. How then am I to respond is the question. What then is being asked of me? In a collection of writings by Pope Francis, I found a message he gave while visiting the U.S. in 2015. In it, he talks about a dramatic increase in forced migration from the South toward the U.S. He does not presume to make U.S. policy, nor does he address it. Pope Francis simply asks that we consider the golden rule from Matthew 7:12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. He continues his writing with the following. This rule points in a clear direction. Let us treat others with the same passion and compassion with which we want to be treated. Let us seek for others the same possibilities that we seek for ourselves. Let us help others to grow as we would like to be helped ourselves. In a word, if we want security, let us give security. If we want life, let us give life. If we want opportunities, let us provide opportunities. The yardstick we use for others will be the yardstick that time will use for us. End quote. We all learned this rule, if not in Sunday school, in grammar school. We have known this to be truth of the way that we are asked to live with other people in our household, in our neighborhood, and in our world. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's simple. Pope Francis calls us to remember a few things about who we are as people of the word in respect to forced migration. In the introduction of the same book, Robert Ellsberg writes this. Repeatedly, he, Pope Francis, anchors his concern in simple texts from Scripture. The repeated commandment to welcome the stranger and the reminder that you yourselves were strangers in the land of Egypt. We just heard those words this morning. They're from Exodus 22:21 and from Deuteronomy 10. The words of Jesus, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, Matthew 25:36. And above all, the reminder that the Holy Family themselves, in their flight into Egypt, shared the experience of contemporary refugees. They were forced to migrate for their safety, the safety of Jesus Christ. The bottom line for me, where my faith and immigration are concerned, is this. I am less concerned about immigration than I am about the immigrant. I am less concerned about someone's status than I am their safety. I am less concerned about where someone lives than I am about their ability to make a life for themselves and their families, because that is what I am asked to do. If I am to be watchful and ready for my master's return, because I have been given much, much will be expected of me. How then am I How then and who then am I asked to serve? These answers will always have more to do with the graceful question of who someone is and whose they are than anything to do with where they have come from and where they are seeking to go. In fact, the answers may have more to do with who I am and how I am called to live in Christ than anything else. If God shows no partiality, as the scripture says this morning, and we are called to serve God, then if our hearts are changed, neither can we. Children of God are children of God. Plain and simple. When people are forced to leave their homes, we're asked to be concerned about the people. That's my plea this morning. Be watchful. Be ready. Be prepared. Understand that to whom much has been given, much will be required.